Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers!
Hi, Barbara. Welcome to episode 126, the very hot and steamy episode 126 of the Groom Pod, recorded on June 25th, 2017 in warm Snohomish and flaming hot Tucson. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to talk about coping with the heat, and we're going to talk about solids, and I'm going to give a book review on Jody Murphy's book. So you can join our discussion by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/thegroompod. Subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Google Play, or anywhere you get podcasts. You can find all things Groom Pod related, including the Amazon banner and our donation button, which is where you tip your hosts, at www.thegroompod.com. And keep sharing it with all your pals. And support our sponsors. Remember, when you're at a trade show and you see our sponsors, let them know that you heard it on Groom Pod, and they will appreciate it. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer, it's good karma. Barbara, how's your week been?
Oh, it's been hot. It is hot in Tucson, but you know, like I saw this BuzzFeed article. BuzzFeed, got to beware of BuzzFeed people. BuzzFeed is a source of truly fake news. And in this case, the article was about how hot it was in Arizona. And so some of the basic weather facts were true, but then they embellished it with these pictures of like melted trash bins and you know, and stuff that just doesn't happen. You know, they showed an adobe wall that is crumbling. Well, you know what? Adobe doesn't melt. It's made. It's baked in the sun. You know, it had to be flood damage. You know, it was just like so silly. So don't believe everything you see on freaking Facebook, especially BuzzFeed. So, but, you know, it is what it is. I grew up here. I know it's hot. And, you know, Yvonne and I were talking, it seems like every summer it gets a little bit worse. Well, but every summer we're a little bit older and we're a little bit less able to cope, you know. But we're getting along. What else happened this week? Oh, did you see the picture that I posted yesterday of Oompa? My new...
No.
Oh, this was really cool because I've been very derelict in picking up my messages at the shop, my business messages. You know, I just let them sit there for 2 freaking weeks. That's horrible.
But well, that's bad.
But that just shows you how paralyzed I am in the whole situation between my body giving out and the heat beating us to death. There's just reasons not to pick up that phone. But I got a new customer, and she was so sure that she wanted me that she called me 3 times and then came in and gave Yvonne a handwritten note. And I respond to her, and she has this little dog, and he's the cutest dang thing. I don't know. He's got Papillon ears, big old bat ears, and he's so cute. And by the way, just for our information, this customer, turns out she's a lawyer that works for the UN.
Really?
And she said that she rebooked for 4 weeks, but said that someone else would be bringing the dog in because she's going to Afghanistan for a tour. And listen to this. I said, why in the world would you want to go there? She says, because I can earn in 6 months in Afghanistan what it takes me 3 years to make in the States.
Wow. Still, you have to go to Afghanistan, though.
Well, yeah, but it's just like suck it up for 6 months and then come home and you're okay for 3 years, you know, like
that's true. You could earn enough to get a down payment for a house.
Yeah, you know, you can do some major shit on the 3 years salary. Boom.
That's fascinating, actually.
I thought it was fascinating, actually. And anyway, I'll put a picture of little Oompa on the Oompa is his name. Isn't that cute? Even his name was cute. And he was a good little boy. See, this is the kind of customer I deserve. She stalked me for an appointment. She didn't want anybody else. It had to be me. And then she's read books for 4 weeks. And then she tips. And then the dog is so good. Ay, man.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Doesn't get any better than that. You know, in fact, I picked up my messages. And within a half an hour, I had 3 new customers.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. Another one that's coming in soon is a Westie. And he was another one that waited and waited. And when I called him back and apologized for not getting back to him, they said, oh, no worries. We just figured you were either very busy or off on a vacation. I said, well, I wish.
Yeah. So they don't know you very well yet.
Yeah, they don't know me very well. But, you know, that's so what else? So that was kind of, the other thing that happened this week is I took Belle, my Bichon, in for a dental.
Oh, and how'd that go?
$1,300 later.
Oh my.
She lost 16 teeth.
Does she have any left?
Oh yeah. She's got a cute smile. All her canines were salvaged.
Does her tongue stay in?
Her tongue stays in. I told her that's my main thing. I don't want to lose that tongue control. And she's already taking treats more willingly. She's eating, you know, she's eating her whole food. I mean, I was blind. I feel so remorseful because I didn't realize she was suffering. I thought she was being picky about her food and her treats.
And she was just having difficulty chewing.
Yeah, my baby. So anyway. I fixed it, and, you know, that was Tuesday, and she's already happier and livelier, and, you know, she's grateful, and next week I'm taking the little, not even quite 3-year-old Maltese little in, because she's got noticeable tartar happening there, and, you know, those little toy breeds, they need their dental more often. And after I get her done, I'm going to turn right around and do Marco because I am not going to feel, I don't want to feel like this about one of my others. I just feel so bad for my princess. So, you know, like
too bad
God.
You can't go in there and fix his face up while he's asleep.
Yeah, I know. God, I should ask them.
You should. My vet lets me do it. It's food for thought.
Yeah, food for thought, you know.
Get in there and just shave it down. Shave it down.
Sudden instant Asian mustache there. Yeah, like,
yes. I like it.
I don't know. Okay.
Well, you know, just.
So everybody, don't let your, don't take your eye off the teeth. That's all I can say. Don't put it on the back burner for 2 years like I did. You know, it's so easy to like not smell their breath and just put that on the back burner. Well, I'm going for physical. I mean, I had my reasons, you know,
and a lot of it was surgery.
My own health issues just took the foreground. Yep. And, you know, and I've been just stumbling along with that. So, I don't feel like totally a bad mommy, but I do feel regretful that I didn't do this like 2 years ago. We would have saved more teeth. And so.
You'd be doing it again right now, though. I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah. Well, you know. Anyways, so.
Well, that's cool. That's good that you got that done. So nothing exciting in the grooming department?
No, other than some new stuff happening. Oompa came in and, but I want to say to our groom pod people, you don't know what you mean to me. You don't know what you mean to me. You don't know. No, no, you don't know. It was so nice yesterday to be able to just like post a little request for feedback and dialogue on the Groom Pod list and actually get to speak to my potential audience for the webinar. I love the way we are connected.
I do too. It's like a big hive.
You know, it's just like so cool that I can be this intimate with my people, you know, this close to you all, that I feel so comfortable just saying, help, do I need to change this date? And that was it yesterday. And I got a lot of good response and a lot of good feedback. And I think date wise, it's six of one, half dozen of the other. And keeping the date as it is seems to outweigh trying to change the date. So we're going to keep the date of the next Groom Pod is next Sunday at 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And everybody that signs up will very shortly after the broadcast get a link to the download of the recording. So if you can't come in on Sunday, you can download it on Monday or Tuesday on your extended weekend. How perfect, you know, to have that kind of time whenever you want. You can do it at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning over coffee. You can do it at 7 o'clock at night over wine. I don't care.
So you know? Here's the question, though. How about kicking it a little earlier in the morning, or is that too tough for you? Just ponder it, because that did seem to be a tiny bit of an issue.
Okay.
Yeah. So going more like when you look at the Groom Pod and starting more like Groom Pod time instead of a little bit later. I know that puts more pressure on you because you have to do all the stuff, whereas I'm just technical support and charm and good looks, you know.
And, you know, and the truth is, I'm always working on my PowerPoint up to a half an hour before I go. I mean, it's just my nature.
Yeah.
It's to procrastinate and then freak out, you know. So,
yes. You know, speaking to the person who was writing this show, what, 20 minutes before we were supposed to start recording?
Well,
I work better under pressure.
Yeah, me too.
Yep. All right. Well, food for thought.
We'll,
if you guys
we'll
out there, yeah, if you guys have a feeling, I know there was people who preferred earlier. If there's more people that prefer earlier, or you guys prefer to keep it at the same time, give us more feedback on that when you get a chance so that we can make our choices that way. But know that we're hitting that first Sunday every month, at least for the foreseeable future, until Barbara decides she doesn't want to play this anymore.
I'm loving it.
Cool. So, well, let's give the plug then right now while we're at it. So it's July 2nd at 11 a.m. Pacific time, and it's $39.95. It's going to be Beyond Suds and Scent, the shampoo section of it, because Barbara's splitting it in half because there's so much to learn and so much to see and so much to discuss. And so you go to her website, www.shop.beber.biz, and scroll down and you'll see the webinar on there and click on that, and then you'll get all set up from Barbara. Anything you need to add to that, Miss Bird?
If you can't watch it in the live broadcast, within a few hours after broadcast, I'll have the recorded version ready to go. It's everything that we did. It's raw, untouched, you know, the webinar in its true form. You just don't get to ask questions. But you can always come in on the Groom Pod discussion group and ask your question the next day or so, and I'll pick it up and we'll either answer it on a Groom Pod episode, or if it's a short thing, I can type it in on the Groom Pod group. So there you have it.
Cool. Excellent. Well, I had an interesting week of grooming myself. You plant a seed and it doesn't exactly, it may germinate, but then it takes a while to become a seedling, right? It doesn't just come out of the ground and be all flourishing. So I don't know, what was it, about 6 months ago, I started to tell my clients that I needed to add people. Well, that's paying off now. And I believe that the biggest benefit of adding people that are word of mouth is that your client base, the people who already know you, who know that you're Explorer and trailer are a little dirty on the outside, and know that you don't put on airs and have no graphics, and that you have a tendency to talk too much and be late, then they tell their friend, this is my groomer and she's fantastic, but you know, her trailer isn't all that much to look at and she might be a little bit late, but boy, the dogs love her and her handling skills are fantastic and she just does a fabulous job with special needs dogs or whatever. It's not like Danielle's dogs where they didn't really know me or know anything about me. These guys have all been prepped. So every single one of these people I'm picking up out of my word of mouth references are just fitting in like a puzzle piece to my system, which is really wonderful. Yesterday, I had a long-term client referral to a new client. Unfortunately, they're moving in 7 months or 6 months or something like that. We've got her all scheduled out till the day she moves, but it's an Australian Shepherd with stunning color. This dog is brindle, and I don't know what's mixed in there, but it is red brindle, beautiful, breathtakingly stunning dog who was left in a yard with a rope tied around its neck.
Son of a gun.
Yeah, for the majority of its young life. And his name's Scooby, picked him up from a shelter or from a rescue organization. I didn't quite pay attention to that part of the story. But the dog's a little bit shy. And, you know, because doggone it, those guys are so smart. So he came up and he smelled every smell on every part of my scent marking shoes and my pants and my watch band and my hand. And he checked me out up one side and down the other. Then he decided I was okay and he took a treat. He's little. He's adorable. He's an easy groom. They have good power at the house. And I fell in love with this dog. He's such a sweet little spirit in there. He's not trusting until you get in there. She said, oh, it'll be three times till he begins to trust you. Oh, no. We hit it off instantly. I'm so happy to have. Now I don't want them to leave. I love this dog. This dog is so pleasant to be around. And I removed tons of hair. That's always so gratifying. And I just, it was just a really good first visit, much unlike the other first visits. And I had to assess what the difference was. And the difference is she already knew who I was before I got there. And that's better for me, I think. That's more in my comfort zone. So
Yeah, I like that when you've been previewed, you know, and they and somebody else, you know, like a groomer, a veterinary referral is worth gold, you know. But I don't know, some of these new customers, I guess I've got good Yelp reports. Something's out there that is giving me a heck of a good boost in community awareness. I love it.
I don't have any Yelp presence at all.
Yeah, well, I'm really glad that I didn't sign up for $450 a month improved Yelp presence because I don't need it.
Yep. Yeah, me either. Me either. Yeah, so it's been interesting. My clients are on the move. As happens, you know, in the summertime, people sell their houses. Yeah. And I'm sure you guys have probably heard about it. Our housing prices are through the roof expensive. So people who even had an inkling of selling their property or house, they're doing it now and they're moving out a little bit farther. And, you know, I'm a good mobile groomer and I follow them. So my travel range is getting a little wider as everybody moves out, but I enjoy driving and it's kind of fun to see the new people's houses and how their lives change over the years. And, you know, there's been some weddings of children recently and that's kind of fun. The coolest thing that's happened though, just in a personal sense, is my neighbor kid who we've lived next door to for 20 plus years. And, you know, we're part of their Christmas tradition and all of that. He plays in the minor leagues for the Toronto Blue Jays. Well, he got called up this week to the
big league. Yay.
I know it. I was at the baseball game in Seattle. I was at the Mariners game and my phone rang and I'm thinking, why is the neighbor calling me while I'm sitting at the baseball game? Because she knows I can't hear. And I answer the phone and I said, what's up, Joe? Because I thought the horse was broken out or something. And she goes, we have to fly to Kansas City. And I went, Kansas, why are you flying to Kansas City? She goes, Kansas City, you know, Kansas City Royals. And I went, oh my gosh. And she said, yep. Toronto called Ian up. He's playing in Kansas City and we're flying out. So that is, you know, lifelong dream for that kid.
Great.
I'm so proud of him. It's very exciting to watch. And yeah, well, I think that's about it. Just new clients and lots of heat here too, you know, but we only have 2 days of it. And then tomorrow it's going to cool back down to a normal 70 something, which is much more tolerable for us. But speaking of heat, let's take a really quick break and hear from the illustrious Best Shot about their products. And then we will come back and we're going to talk about coping with that heat. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
All right, Barbara, I have no room to complain. We know that because we're only having 2 days of hot weather, yesterday and today, although today is supposed to be 90-something. And I have two Shelties to groom this morning, or, well, actually when we're done with the podcast. I will get to them as fast as I can because I don't want to be out there again like I was yesterday at 4 in the afternoon with just water dripping off of my face and my body just sweating like crazy. Hair stuck to every, because I did cats in the morning. I had hair everywhere stuck on me. Oh, I was trying to blow it off. It was awful. So there's three things that we really have to pay attention to. There's us and how we personally as groomers cope with the heat. Then there's our shop environment and how we deal with coping with that. And then on top of it, there's the pet and how we cope with that. So let's start out with coping with our own personal heat issues. What are some of your coping strategies?
Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. You know, we start getting very serious. Yvonne and I handing each other a fresh bottle of water out of the fridge. I'll hand it to her and make her drink some. She'll hand, you know, like, it's one thing to take a bottle of water and then put it on the shelf behind you, and 3 hours later you realize you haven't drunk. No, you know, like one of my physical therapists said, between every dog you should drink like 8 ounces of water, you know, like just chug, 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 chug. Next dog, chug, 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 you know, like. And so I try to really be vigilant. And I think we're going to go one step further and get some kind of beverages, not Gatorade, but some kind of electrolyte healthy beverages, because you can start. It is warm in my shop. I have to admit, I don't have AC. The times that I've tried to do a window AC unit, it's blown out all of my electricity.
Of course. And
it freezes up because the dog hair just goes to the front of it, and it just freezes up right in the front. And it just didn't work. I tried it twice. And so we just keep the air circulating as much as we can. Keep fans going, and I give the dogs a lot of water opportunities.
So you've got short hair, but me, I've got a long ponytail of hair. So I put it into a braid, and then sometimes even on a bun, just to get it up off the back of my neck. Because that's awful. Plus, they have those cooling neck things.
Cooling neck things are good. Yeah, you know, and the thing about the cooling neck thing, that it has the gel inside that kind of you wet it down, and it, you can use those on the dogs too.
Those are, hey, that's a great tip.
Yeah, no, I used to use that. I used to use those for Arturo.
Ah, yes. Yeah. What do you wear? What do you wear when you groom?
Well, I have actually worn shorts for 2 days this week. You know, that's a real don't give a heck kind of a wardrobe. I mean, I'm over 200 pounds and I'm wearing freaking denim shorts. But, you know, it's a combination of weather crisis and laundry crisis.
And when those two meet.
When those two intersect, you know, like it's an outfit situation and you just throw on those short pants and go to work. I usually work with an apron because I can't stand that hair sticking to my skin. It gives me creepies. I hate that. And I wear a cotton bra that sops up the sweat underneath sagging boobies. And what else do I wear? I wear a woven leather clog shoe.
Right.
I mean, suddenly I don't want to put on socks and ugh. But, you know, we just kind of adjust. And I just kind of let my professional appearance go with the flow.
Yeah, that's a funny thing. That's a good segue because I'm always in shorts. You know, once I put my shorts on, I'm committed, as you guys know out there, our listeners. So I've been in shorts, and my shorts vary from long shorts to extremely short shorts. And then I discovered Jody Murphy's skort. You know, the skirt short.
Right.
And I bought one, but I have a bad self-image, so I bought an extra large because I'm stupid and see myself.
Thought you were fat.
Yes, I see myself as fat. So I buy the extra large, and I'm having to safety pin it up, right? So last time when she was in town, I got a medium. So I went from an extra large to a medium.
Good.
The medium fits me everywhere except for apparently I have more behind than most people have. And so,
well, you're lucky for a white girl.
No, I'm good. It's good. And it's pretty solid, you know, gymnastics butt. So I still have gymnastics butt. But it means that the skirt rides up a little higher in the back than I would like. Like the extra large one, it covered everything back there. Well, this one, I'm basically grooming in a bathing suit. Tank top, this skort, and my whole backside and its shorts are hanging out underneath the skort, but it's really much cooler for me to do it that way. And I dry off pretty quickly between dogs, so the hair kind of flies off. Plus, I have a clipper back and I use it most of the time. I'm vacuum conscious. Like, I stop and vacuum every bit of hair that flies around so that I don't end up with it sticking all over me, because I really hate that.
Yeah, we vacuum a lot in between dogs too. And then another thing that I do for my comfort, that probably you can't waste water in the mobile, but I go to my tub and I squirt the cold water on the inside of my elbows.
And that seems head.
That seems to be a cooling spot. And, you know, that can kind of give me a temporary relief. And you know,
I wet my head. I stick my head under there with the cold. Well, but I'm outside. So my cold water, really not cold. My cold water is lukewarm on these days.
Yeah.
But I turn it all the way down and I wet my head. And then I have a little tiny, teeny weeny fan set up in there. And so it blows on my head. And that helps me between dogs a lot. So you mentioned you're wearing open back shoes. But how do you feel about the flip-flop sandal issue that some people have been talking about on Facebook? When I was younger, my friend dropped the pruning shears on her sandaled foot, and the point went in, and my mother pulled it out, and she screamed, and my mom smacked her. It's the only time I've ever seen my mom smack another kid, because she never smacked me, but Jackie was freaking out, so she gave her a little pat. Knock it off, and ran her to the hospital, and they stitched up her foot. But I have a fear of that because our shears are way sharper than pruning shears from the yard. And I always wear closed-toed shoes. Rarely, occasionally, if I really need to feel my toes wiggle, I'll wear those fancy sandals that are basically tennis shoes with holes cut in the side, you know, so that there's a lot of stuff.
Well, my shoes are – my shoes are closed at the toe, but the leather on the front, it's a weave pattern with air, so the air goes through it. I do not. One of the most serious accidents I ever had at my shop was with wearing
those Birkenstock Earth shoes.
Birkenstock Earth, you know, those things weren't cheap either, but I thought that I was being professional enough, but I had these sandals on, and I was carrying a small dog to its crate, and a cord from something on the floor got caught in between underneath my toes, and I took a dive and hit my right knee. That's the knee I had to then have replaced. That Ouch. Was the beginning of the end. I landed on the concrete. Fortunately, I just kind of placed the dog down, you know, and I took it all. And I took it all myself, but that was a bad fall, and it was from open-toed shoes. And I would never recommend sandals, flip-flops. Don't do that. God, first of all, most of them have no arch support. And if you don't take care of your feet in your early part of grooming, you are going to have nothing but many problemas.
And then there's the tiny issue of OSHA. I believe OSHA requires us to have closed-toed shoes on. I'm not positive about that. But I think in the work environment, if you looked up the rules, we probably need to have closed-toed shoes. I don't think we need steel-toed shoes, but I do think we probably should have closed-toed shoes. So that's us. Now, I have Pepsi in the car, and I've got a water bottle. I try to drink some water in between, but, you know, I have no bathroom, so I kind of keep that part reined in. But I do have a fan in the grooming trailer, and that
helps. I want to talk about the relation of peeing and water intake.
Okay,
because I'm 77. I have a little bit to say about urinary health.
Okay,
so this is what I've learned, is that when you increase your water hydration, in the beginning, there's a more frequent peeing. But very soon, that tapers off and you get a better balance. Do you know that I drank a whole 16-ounce water before I went to bed the other night? I only got up once to pee, and I have been known on other days to get up four times.
That's impressive. You know,
so that's impressive. And I've been told this before, and now I am experiencing it. As long as I keep my hydration level up, I'm not peeing nearly as much. You know, so
sometimes I can go all day drinking and never pee. I wonder, where is it going? Where does it go? Oh my gosh. I think I sweat some of it out, and I think I absorbed the rest of it. And it just, it'll be 4 p.m. and I'll think, wow, I haven't used anyone's bathroom today. That is a little weird.
Yeah, well, you'll probably pay for it when you're older, but anyway.
I'm sure. My kidneys will be all dried up.
Yeah, I really suggest that people kind of move beyond that stereotype of increased hydration makes for more urination.
Well, I'm willing to give it a try. Well, what about in your shop? What are some of the things you do just in your environment in your shop? One of the things I do is I'm already hand drying each dog, but I never stick dogs in a crate and put any kind of blowers on them, only fans. Fans on this kind of day, that's it for me. And sometimes I'll let them air dry, and I'll tell the clients that I'm just going to let the heads air dry because it's just too hot to blow hot air on the dog's heads. And I only use one motor on my canine too.
Some things that you do. We have a lot of box fans at my salon, and they're surrounding and bungee to wire crates. I'm using less and less. Nowadays, when I replace a crate, I don't get a solid wall crate. I have all sizes of wire crates, so we've got fans around them, and sometimes we just put a dog in there and put the fans on low before the bath. Just to kind of keep, you know, especially if it's an older dog, whatever. The other thing that I have that I recommend grooming shops in warm climates get are the gel-filled cooling pads.
Oh, great idea.
And you should just need to have one for every size kennel that you have. You don't necessarily need to put every dog on a cooling pad, but those dogs that have more of an issue of cooling off, that would be the push-nose breeds,
right?
Older dogs.
Health issues.
Health issues, anybody with Cushing's or thyroid, you want to put them on a cooling pad. And it, you know, like you can choose to refrigerate and chill your pads or not, but it's just going to help, you know. And I have one large kennel cooling pad that I use at home for myself. When I get home and I want to just lay down, I lay down on a cooling pad and just help get my whole body comfortable and get some fan air going over me. And, you know, so those things, they are very affordable on Amazon.
Do you have doors open at your shop? Do you have double doors? Are you able to open doors and windows? Are you screened in?
Well, I have a window that's propped open about 4 inches. And we sometimes put the kitty in the front door. Now, the kitty is not a real kitty.
The doorstop kitty.
The doorstop kitty.
Okay. I was wondering. I was working that math in my head. You probably saw it.
The kitty is in the doorway. And, you know, like I have a really good environment because from the back, there's 2 half gates that a dog would have to go over before they get to the front door. So it's pretty secure. And we're not doing a lot of dogs. You know, like I've allowed myself this summer to kind of cut back a little bit because being able to work at a kind of more relaxed pace helps keep everybody in the place more comfortable.
For sure, you know, especially when it's hot.
When it's hot, you know, like just you know, it's just working out that way. And yep. I'd just as soon take a little income hit rather than suffer and get ill.
So do you ever go in earlier in the morning when it's hot? Just to kind of make it a little bit, well, yeah, that's funny, a silly question. We just had a discussion about
that. Funny that you ask. Yeah. You know, I've pushed it back. I now sometimes don't get to the shop until 11.
Right.
And then I turn around and, hey, it's lunchtime. I didn't want
right.
to talk. It's lunchtime.
Burrito
ride. No, it just depends on what we've got. I, you know, Yvonne has been with me for 5 years on July the 15th. I've got to think of something. I think what I'm going to do for her birthday is take her. Here's my plan for my employee. You're all going to wish you were my employee.
All right.
For her 5th year anniversary, we have this place that's a movie theater that serves dinner and drinks.
We've got one of those. They're neat.
That we're going to see Wonder Woman to the sit-down, eat movie theater for her birthday.
That is going to be so fun.
Isn't that fun? I tried to do it on the spur of the moment week before last, but they were 90% full, and the only seats were in the back were the handicapped seats, and they weren't selling them.
It's better to wait and go in there and pick your seat, you know, have the theater to yourself practically because it's been out for a little while. Well, it's such a good movie, though. Oh, it's such a good movie.
I can't wait to see Wonder Woman. You know, the little girl inside of me is like just jumping up and down. Wonder Woman meant so much to me when I was a kid because she was the first female girly hero, superhero ever. And I can't wait. So anyway,
not to go off on a tangent, but I'm right there with you.
Okay. So,
I open, as long as it's not a cat, when I'm grooming cats, everything is closed. And even though I have screen windows, I close the windows because I don't want to risk a cat going through a screened window. But when I'm doing dogs, as in yesterday, my doors are open, my windows are open, I'm free to the world because I've just got one dog on there and I'm working on it. So I am not afraid the dog is going to take off. Besides, most of them actually run to the trailer, not away from the trailer. I'm pretty happy about that too. So I totally get some air circulating that way, and it makes it a little bit better for me and my environment, and the fan helps. And but it's a challenge. That trailer's only 8x10. You know, it's why I keep the dryer down, you know, to use only the single dryer. So what about for the pet?
Cooling pads are one thing. The gel-filled bandanas or neck scarves are another thing that you can help keep your pets cool. Offering them water. I don't like to leave a lot of water in the crates, but we offer water a lot. I had the cutest little border terrier named Zemi. I was hand stripping Zemi the other day, and Yvonne brought me a fresh bottle of iced water. Dasani, that's my brand. Sorry if you don't like it, but I like it. And I started drinking it, and the doc's given me this look. Like, I want that.
Oh, I need some.
You know, I need some of that. Hey.
Yeah, you got what I want.
You got that. And so I offered her, I put my palm up and I put the water bottle in the palm. She licked into the bottle.
Oh, how funny.
Oh, God, it was so cute. We sent her home with her own bottle of Dasani.
That's talent.
I know, it's her little tongue going inside, and she's just like drinking away, and it was so cute. Oh, dear.
Oh, anyway, that's cool.
So we really try to stay mindful. So mindfulness, mindful grooming, stay aware of everything that's happening to those pets in your environment. And if they start whining and crying, don't assume that they're just spoiled brats. See what the problem is. See if you can make them more comfortable.
We personally have done two full Groom Pod episodes, one of them like the whole episode, and another one, a big segment of the episode on heat stroke. So I recommend to you guys, go search the archives. And if you're interested, read about heat stroke in dogs, because we've done a lot on that. We don't want to go over that stuff too much right now, but paying attention and being mindful is a big part of knowing your clients and your dogs and their normal behavior and what's out of the norm. Get them in and out as fast as you can. That's another thing. You know, the shorter they're with you, the less concern you have to pay to them.
Yeah, and especially if they're older. Because, you know, the truth is, if you have a warm shop, now, if you have an ice cold shop, go on.
Yeah, woohoo, let them stay all day.
Lucky you. Lucky you. But we don't. So we did Tramp the other day. He's 16 years old. He was in for just a bath and tidy. We had him out in an hour and a half. Yeah. You know, and he's been coming for 16 years. He's perfectly comfortable. We just recognized that it was a less than ideal situation for our favorite old timer, you know?
Yes.
And there again, if they're old, if they're unwell, just got to figure that, you know, the heat's going to take a faster toll on them. We had a woman in, not in my community, but up north of here, more in the Phoenix metro area, old lady with Alzheimer's walked out of her Alzheimer's care home and died of heat stroke within an hour.
Oh, man, that's awful.
They found her in a neighbor's backyard.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's tidy this up by saying everybody should have a thermometer so that you can temp the dogs.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the put a cap on it by saying that they're in your care. You need to be responsible for them, and you need to know if you're creating a problem. And if that temperature is 104, you're in an emergency situation. You need to do some of the stuff we talked about in our heat stroke episodes. So listen to those, and let's take a break, Barbara, hear from South Bark, and then we'll be back with our interesting definition du jour. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5 ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars. The definition du jour. Solids, Barbara, solids.
Hey, solid, man.
That took me, that took a minute to hit me.
I know. So I want to talk about this article on solids that popped up this week in the Facebook feed. I see that it was originally published last December.
I don't know if I saw that one.
This guy, he's a chemist and CEO of Synergy Labs. Something has been bothering me for a while now. It's the total misrepresentation I see everywhere regarding concentrated shampoo and their dilution ratios.
I did read that.
The only way to know how much you can dilute a shampoo is to know what percent of the shampoo is solids.
Yeah, okay, what's that mean?
Well, so solids refers to everything that's not water in a shampoo, all the ingredients, right?
Oh, okay.
Everything that's not water is a solid. And it's just a general term for everything that's not water.
So he could have just actually said, the only way to know the dilution rate is to know how much water's in the shampoo. Well, duh.
Right. Well, duh. No, you see, he's doing, and here he says, this cracks me up. He says, in simplicity, solids are everything inside the product formula that is not water. And immediately he confused everybody. You know? So this is an example that now this guy is, he's got good creds, right? He's got science creds. Chemist and CEO of Synergy Labs. Okay, so he's been in the industry for quite a while, and he's introducing us to this concept of solids, of percentage of solids.
All right.
So he's saying, this is oxymoronic, there's a huge difference between buying a shampoo that's 60 parts water versus one that's 95% water.
Right? Wow, does he think we are? Complete idiots?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God. Okay, fine.
Then he says, the more water that's used in the shampoo formulation, the less dilutable the shampoo will be because it's already been diluted by the manufacturer. Well, all shampoos are diluted because shampoo is a water-in-water mixture, and surfactants only operate in the presence of water. You know, even soap, which is a surfactant, just like take bar soap,
right?
It doesn't clean until you put put the water on your hands, right?
Very true.
Yeah, those surfactants in the soap have to be mixed with water to be effective. But see, what bugs me about this, first of all, he's trying to come off very scientific in a way that knocks everybody else out of the ring, you know?
Yeah.
He's, you know, like, why does he have to say it? Total misrepresentation of shampoos and their dilution ratios. There's a better way to introduce, you know, that's just a yellow journalism, you know, like.
Yeah, it's a little fear-mongering. And
it's a little fear-mongering, a little exploitive, a little, let's raise the anxiety issue a little bit here. And it's not really fear-mongering in terms of fear of toxicity, you know.
No, it's just a fear of other companies, to be afraid of other shampoo formulators.
To be wary. And then here's something else that, frankly, pisses me off.
Angry bird
coming up. This guy is using a lot of industry talk. He's giving us kind of not a secret. Solids aren't anything secret, but it's not something that we talk about as consumers. But he's kind of giving us this insight into the bottle that sounds like he's telling us a secret and revealing something, you know, and yet he's doing that without naming a single freaking ingredient, you know. So here he says, here's this cracks me up at the same time, you know, like I am a happy angry bird. You got to know that.
Yeah.
You know, I am both entertained and aggravated by our industry. So here's his final statement. True solids, a mission of truth. Transparency matters. That's why Synergy Labs, TM, has launched True Solids at True Solids, because we are on a mission to tell the truth about products and ingredients. And this is just the beginning, because there's so much misinformation in the marketplace. I want to strip out confusion and provide facts and take it from a chemist who has been making animal products for over 21 years. Blah, blah, blah. So we're going to know the fraction of solids in your shampoo. Here's my point. He's acting as though he's saying the cleaning ability of a shampoo depends on the percentage of solids.
That's not true.
It's not true. You know, like, it's really the performance of your surfactants that makes or breaks your shampoo performance, right? It's the surfactant. It's the percentage. If you're going to talk about that you need a percentage, you got to have an adequate amount of surfactant in there to form micelles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise you just got little polywogs catching individual little pieces of dirt, and there's no great micelle action happening. And so that's a technical point, but hear me. Thickeners are a solid.
Right.
Fragrance is a solid.
Right.
You know, foaming enhancers are solids. You could have a product that's loaded with crap and it's got 20 to 40% solids.
Right.
Solids is too gross and too broad a term. And the nature of the cleaning surfactants themselves dictates the cleansing action of the shampoo and the dilutability.
Right.
Now, we can know, I can tell you that the dilutability, that sulfates are much more dilutable than our decyl glucoside, cocoisothionate, some of these baby shampoo surfactants that you see popping up as sulfate free. They just don't have that ability to those. You need to use a lot more solids when it's decyl glucoside than when it's sodium lauryl sulfate, for sure.
Do they list their ingredients?
Not in this article, because this is just an article to make them sound like they're telling us something that nobody has before. You know, so no, but they've told us, they told us they're gonna, you know, he says, the highest concentrated shampoo is 42%. There is no such thing as a 44% solid shampoo. That is absolutely Pinocchio.
Yes, that nose is growing right now.
Pinocchio, because I just went online and Googled shampoo formulations. Almost all chemical companies will give you some suggested shampoo formulations using their stuff. Right. And I found them up to 50%. So he's just pulling that out, and it's a Pinocchio. There's no truth to it. And look at Show Season has 84-1.
Yep.
Practically no water shampoo. It's kind of a bitch to work with, but
Grime Time in the jug. That's all solids.
Grime Time in the jug is pretty much all solids, because that sodium lauryl sulfate turns into a gel when it cools off.
Oh, right. I forget other people have it not solid. It's like, hey, maybe today I'll be able to see my pot of stuff not solid. That'll be exciting. I might have to take a picture of that. Well, okay. So I'm skeptical. I'll just say that. I don't like that kind of language.
So this was a lot of kind of looking scientific without even having a good foundation, a science base to back that up. It's his experience. I mean, I totally respect someone who's been working in the factory for over 21 years making pet shampoos. I've got a lot to learn from this guy, but this ain't it.
Yeah. They do have an interesting section on their website called Synergy University, where they talk about how surfactants clean in percentages and things like that. That looks like it's pretty decent. I mean, it's certainly not complete. It's nothing like Beyond Suds and Scent shampoo edition that we're going to be giving next weekend, but it's a little bit of a primer into how shampoo works. And so he's got some knowledge to share, but like you said, this wasn't it.
Yeah. You know, and so what type of surfactants is probably more important in determining the dilutability of your shampoo than the gross percentage of solids? You know, because when you have these sulfate-free formulations, you'll notice that they have 3 and sometimes 4 cleaning surfactants. That's because they have to have more concentration of detergent, things that are going to pick up dirt and oil and emulsify and hold in suspension. They have to have more of those detergent surfactants because those detergent surfactants aren't as strong at pulling and holding on to dirt, and those surfactants don't operate well if they're not forming micelles.
There we go. Does that wrap it up?
Probably for now. Probably as much as my 104 degree brain can muddle through this morning.
God, I can't even imagine. You know what you could do to entertain yourself, though, this afternoon?
What?
Sit inside and do some shopping on Amazon.
Oh, shop on Amazon. Yeah, I'm going to continue to buy some things to help it be cool. You know, you can get those little tiny clip-on fans that you can clip on your kennels, too. Those are helpful. Battery-powered ones, and you just clip them on the kennel. You know, there's just a lot of ways. And there again, the most important thing about surviving the heat is to stay relaxed and mindful.
Yes. You know? And And shopping will always keep you relaxed. Well, usually keep you relaxed. So if you'd like to help support this show without actually having to spend a dime towards it, you can shop at our Amazon banner. Go to the website, www.thegroompod.com. Scroll down, click on that Amazon banner, and it's going to take you into Amazon's regular site, probably take you into the pet department, but you can do any shopping from there. Just shop as normal. And we get a teeny tiny little bit of a percentage of your sale. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but it helps support the show. And we really appreciate every bit of support you guys give us. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. All right, let's go to our At the Table segment, which is going to be a book review. Now, I'd like to take a moment right here, and I'm not sure if Jody listens to the show. She may tune in from time to time, but Jody Murphy lost her longtime partner this week, and she was scheduled to come on the show today and do an interview, but of course, we don't want to bother her at this time. So I thought that just to honor her a little bit, that we would talk about her book, because I did get it recently. And it's just an amazing book. And so, Jody, you have condolences from the Groom Pod, as well as from me personally. And Barbara, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Jody is on my mind every day. It's been a rough year for her, and this is a low blow. You know, life is so hard for many of us. And we just got to, if you're having a good day today, celebrate. Hallelujah. Yes. If your pets are all well and you're mobile, celebrate it.
That's right. Live every day. That's for certainty.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about this book. It's called Dog Grooming Simplified, Straight to the Point. And it's written by Jody Murphy, and the photography is done by Miguel Bantacourt, and the illustrated drawings are done by Mackenzie Murphy. Jody's daughter did the drawings and the sketches. The book is organized in a very unique way. I actually enjoy it because it's from a different perspective. And she has it broken down into three major sections. Two of those sections are based on patterns, and one of them is not. So the first two sections are basically broken down in terrier-like patterns and setter-like patterns. And then she follows up with the breeds that fall into those categories. And then the third category she talks about is sculpted body trims. And she does the same thing. She talks about drop coats and curly coat sculpted body trims. And then she follows up with the breeds that fall underneath those categories. I thought that was a unique way to organize. What do you think of her organization there?
Well, I think it's a little cumbersome at first, but if you just sit down and thumb through the book and use it as a learning device generally, and then use it as a reference, you're going to love it. If you just start trying to use it as a reference without, you know, like so absorbing some of that other material, it's going to be a little bit more frustrating, because to just find a single breed, it's a little bit more difficult. But it's so worth it, the way that it all falls into place. And I also love that the pictures are real dogs. Not to diminish the contribution that Lisa Van Sweden made to Notes on the Grooming Table, beautiful drawings. But there's just something great about having an actual dog picture and actual angles from the rear, as well as there she blows.
Yeah, talking about the angles, one of the really creative things that they did is they've used overlays on top of the photographs to indicate the patterns and the shaping on the dogs. I thought that was, for me, a really good visual way to kind of demonstrate how the patterns work on the dog's body. And then having an actual photograph underneath it just gives you that little bit extra information to make it all fit together really well. I don't translate angles in the dog's skeleton to the outside of the dog very well, but I'm good with colors and patterns and broad strokes. So this is a really helpful book for me in that respect. I totally agree. Read it first, then use it as a reference. I've been having a great time just thumbing through and looking at every page. Jody's got a lot of interesting tips all throughout, spread throughout. And just to further say, the photography is amazing. The dog photography is amazing.
It's really good. I think it's one of the best grooming guides that's ever come out. You know, I mean, our industry is evolving so fabulously. You know, everything is just like a step better, another grade better. You know, like it's just moving along. It's so beautiful to watch.
Well, and you're a big part of it, Barbara. I know you know that, but gee, I just got to say it because it's so cool to be part of it too, as standing on your coattails, as I so often say. I love what you do. So there is two sections in the front of the book that talk about structure and techniques that have a lot of Jody wisdom in them as well. They're worth reading every single word. Just go through that. And when you read the way she writes, then you get a better indication of how stuff goes together later in the book, like Barbara was saying. I think it's a reference book everybody should have. It's pricey, but it is well worth it because you're only going to have to buy it once. And in my opinion, I'm going to give it 5 liver treats out of 5.
Wow. Great. Me too.
Okay.
Me too. You know, and it's also... It's also very helpful to show your clients what you plan to do with their dog or to make exceptions. Well, here's what is usually done. Do you not want a cleaned up ass?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so great reference for the clients as well as for us. Very insightful, Barbara.
But I keep it right out there so that I can just, you know, like I've been grooming for almost 50 years, but I still use my references.
Yeah,
I just love having the book open to the Cairn Terrier, you know.
And nothing like a really well-written reference book to get you excited about what we're doing.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, Barbara, we've made it to an hour this week, and I'm so excited to get out there and groom these Shelties before it becomes 90 degrees. So I'm going to skedaddle myself out of here. What are your plans?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to play hooky for a while today. I'm streaming Netflix Glow.
Oh, fun. Is it good? I saw it.
It's really good.
Okay, we'll discuss.
Yeah. I even woke up this morning and watched an episode.
Oh, fun.
So I'm a little hooked, and I'm going to give myself some time to just relax and do that. I need to do things where I don't use my hands.
Yes.
And while streaming Netflix is good for that.
Excellent. And you guys, remember, if you haven't already, sign up for the webinar. It's at Barbara's website, www.shop.beaver.biz. It is Beyond Suds and Scent, the shampoo portion. And, I guess that's it. Happy grooming, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now. Oh, wait. Take it back. Next week will be a best of because we'll be webinaring.
All right, everybody. Stay cool.
Bye-bye, Barbara.
Bye, Susie.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.